Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Last week in our study of Hebrews chapter 11, we discussed how we as believers need to follow the leadership of God's man, our pastor, as long as his preaching and teaching do not violate the scriptures. Let's continue with that lesson today. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
And God has given his word to Joshua and told him what to do. He's to march around the city one time each day for 6 days. As they march around, they're not to say a word. On the seventh day, they're to march around 7 times. And they don't say a word until they finish the seventh time. Then they end that seventh time with a shout. Well, the River Jordan parted, so I imagine that Joshua said, well, if God can part a river, he certainly can take care of this. So he was obeying God, whether it looked normal to man or not. He was just obeying God. And I can imagine that as he does this, this is really, I mean, they've crossed Jordan, and now this is their first battle without Moses. And can you imagine as he's having people march around the walls, what the people are thinking? I can imagine they're thinking, well, that's not the way Moses would have done it. Actually, it was, because Moses did what God said to do, and that's what Joshua's doing here. And haven't you found that true? Sometimes a new pastor comes in, and one of the things that he'll hear is, that's not the way old brother so-and-so did it. You go to a job, they do it on the seculars too. They get a new boss. Well, that's not the way the old boss used to do it. That's not the way we used to do it. Well, my friend, we got to do God's will, God's way, in God's time. And many times we need to do it through the people God has provided. Now, just think of, well, here's Joshua thinking, how dumb this seems to me. He leads an entire nation around the walls. I mean, this is the first battle after taking over leadership. And this is his strategy. Joshua, by faith, leads these people around the walls. It's that simple. But don't miss it. The people, by faith, followed. Now, I stressed this about Joshua and what he's doing and what's going on in his mind. Only that's conjecture. But I'm showing you that to say that he went on and did it anyway, because that's what God wanted him to do. But I'm also wanting you to see that when you know that it's God's man, and he's reacting according to God's word, follow him. Joshua heard the word of God directly. They hear it through him. And that's what a pastor does. He studies personally, and then he gives the word from God to God's people. So follow the man of God when it's not against scriptural principle or doctrine, when it is not sensual. Joshua was not giving them anything that appealed to the lust of the eyes. the lust of the flesh, nor the pride of life. I mean, marching around the wall with those people gawking at you was not anything that would appeal to the flesh. Faith triumphed after the walls were compassed 7 days. Only complete obedience to the word of God could deal with Jericho. The next battle with Ai will show what happens when obedience is not complete. The result seemed improbable. But God delights to do great things by small and insignificant means. Now we're reminded of 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31, where we read, "For you see, your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Sometimes you wonder, well, why does the preacher do this? Why does the preacher do that? Maybe just following what the Lord have him to do. Now understand, the preacher is not determined as good or bad as if he's a media star, an athletic star, a beauty contest winner. God doesn't need a leader, a pastor, a preacher, to have the things that appeal to the eye, the ear, and the flesh. He needs a surrendered man, a surrendered heart. And that's what God uses. Sometimes those other things get in the way. No flesh should glory in his presence. He is our wisdom. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. If we're going to glory, let's glory in the Lord, because he's using us who are weak things. We're base, often despised. Of our own strength, my friend, we are unusable. But in him, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. God can, in his own time, make all-powerful opposition to fall. As again, 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5 tells us, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Oh yes, when we use spiritual weapons instead of carnal weapons, it pulls down strongholds. It pulls down those things, those high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. But it also brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That takes on into verse 31, because we see the other side here of Jericho, so to speak. Here's the other perspective. One was Joshua. But what a contrast to Joshua that we have with Rahab, who often in the Bible is referred to as Rahab the harlot. But Rahab reminds us of complete obedience to God. Have you ever heard someone say, "I'm just too evil for God to forgive me"? Well, everyone in Jericho knew that Rahab is a harlot. The New Testament refers to her as Rahab the harlot. But my friend, that's in the eyes of man. For we read in Acts 10 and again in Acts chapter 11 that what God has cleansed, call it not common. Don't call it unclean. Whether it's a homosexual, a drug addict, an adulterer, a murderer, God's grace is greater than all our sin. Romans 5:20 says it this way. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And we say hallelujah for that, because that's still true today. As great as your sin is, the grace of God is greater if you will come to Him. If we're writing a book about our heritage, and I'm talking about our family heritage, most of us would leave out the story of Rahab if she was in our family line. But the work God does in her is so complete that she is in the lineage of the humanity of Jesus Christ. Now, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. The Lord Jesus Christ immortalized the faith of the widow who gave her two mites, all that she had. Now, what you need to understand, those two mites were still small in man's eyes, but 100% was great in God's eyes. And in like matter, God took this old reprobate Rahab, cleaned her up, and she is in the hall of faith. Only what the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses, call it not common, nor unclean. Have you failed? Have you fallen into gross sin? 1 John 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus still cleanses. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, as people who know that God has the power we need to rescue the perishing because duty demands it, we read the story of Rahab. We read that God did something special in her life. The story of Rahab teaches us to rescue the perishing. Jesus saves the chief of sinners.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stand so the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet.